every day, it is my belief that we wake up, regardless of how good we are, to be a little more, to add a dimension to our lives. And I know that because of ethnicities in the world, we have found a way to try to segregate ourselves. But we have to understand that when we create that connection, that nexus amongst each other, we find out that we are more connected than we ever thought. And so today's conversation is evolving around that Latino community. And Pablo Segarra, one of the co-founders of the organization Nexus Latinx, is going to talk to us about how he and his organization are going to look to add dimension to the lives of the Latino diaspora across the world. And so I promise you it'll be a conversation that'll open your eyes and open your understanding to the diaspora that exists in the world today. So with that, let's go. And today on Voices, I'm really excited about this conversation, specifically because I've had the opportunity to be in Latin communities abroad and at home in the United States. And so I learned about this initiative that's looking to connect Latinos. And so I decided to see if I could get the person to be here. So today I have Pablo, and he is one of the influencers of Nexus Latinx. It's a special organization that we're going to talk about today. And if you are an American in the United States, this will matter to you. And if you are Latino in the diaspora across the world, this conversation will matter to you. And so just open your ears and get ready to be connected in the best way you possibly can. So no person can introduce themselves better than themselves. So Pablo, thank you for being here, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you. Thank you for having me on. My name is Pablo. I'm born and raised in the Bronx, Puerto Rican, currently living in the Dominican Republic down in the Caribbean, and I'm an attorney from New York. One of the co-founders for Nexus Latinx, and we are all about building bridges between Latinos and the diaspora all over the world.
And you know, an interesting thing about the diaspora is specifically because I seldom talk about my own personal race, because, you know, obviously race is a social construct, but because I do live in society, I'm a Black man, right? And when you hear diaspora, most people talk about diaspora being the African diaspora because of slavery and all that. And a lot of people miss that Latinos are a part of a similar diaspora, because when the colonizers came, they separated a lot of different people and ravaged a lot of societies. And so the diaspora is very fragmented. So for you, just so. a little opinion from yourself, what's your opinion of the Latino or the Latinx diaspora in the United States? Just sort of in a short sentence, what do you think you would say it is?
Power in numbers. That's what I'm going to say right now, right? And what do I mean by that? I mean that the United States right now is, the population is growing for Latinos. We are the fastest growing generation in the United States. And those Latinos are diaspora. That's what they are, right? Because they're in the United States, they're not back in their home country. So the thing is that diaspora people, we have very different experiences than a lot of other people from the United States. And our goal is really to be able to enforce that those experiences and those connections between Latinos, because a great example is that you have a lot of Latinos, specifically the Puerto Rican community, that we've been in the United States and New York since, you know, the 20s, but a lot of us have been there since the 40s. And as time goes on, you lose your culture. As time goes on, you're not as connected to your island. As time goes on, you start to kind of see the island as a vacation spot, right? When your family's from here, that's where you're from. So it's a great, the diaspora, we have power numbers because we're continually growing. And our goal with Nexus Latinx is really to empower as many of us as we possibly can.
And so let's hit straight to it. What is Nexus Latinx? Like, just if someone was looking it up, I mean, you can go on Google, you can do it. But I mean, if you were going to give it a 3D explanation, how can someone feel what Nexus Latinx is?
Nexus Latinx is a bridge. The best way I could describe it is that when I was a kid, my my mother had this painting in her office, and this painting was of a bridge, this beautiful bridge that I used to go and stare at it as I'm doing homework in her office. On one side of the bridge was the island of Manhattan. On the other side of the bridge was the island of Puerto Rico. And so in my head, I've seen that bridge in my life growing up and try to realize and try to think, how cool would it be if we actually had that actual bridge, right? You could drive on your car from the Bronx directly to Puerto Rico in a few hours, but you drive in the car from the Bronx to Puerto Rico and from Puerto Rico back to the Bronx, right? So my entire life, I grew up with that image in my head. And as I grew older, I started to realize that I'm not the only one that was feeling that way. There was obviously a lot of other people that have felt the same way, that we need that bridge, that we need to be able to connect to our culture. And that just doesn't mean only Puerto Rico. That means Dominican Republic. That means Colombia. That means Mexico. There's a lot of places that need that connection to be able to thrive and to grow on both worlds, right? Because a lot of the diaspora people, what we have is that we grow up in between worlds. We grow up without that bridge, where we're not American enough, but then at the same time, when we go back to the home countries, we're not Latino enough either. We're seen as a tourist. So Nexus Latinx is a bridge between those two communities. I feel like I'm kind of in between those generations. Latinx, to me, is just another word that the generation wants to be called, right? What I mean by that? First, you figure you have Hispanics, right, which was big and prevalent in, like, I think around the 70s and 80s. And then you have the word Latino that came out in the 90s. And now you have Latinx. And Latinx, the purpose of it is to be inclusive. It's inclusivity. It was originally created to get rid of these gender structures, to be able to include the LGBT community as well, and to be able to really get into the understanding of being inclusive. And that's what we are. We are an inclusive organization. We really are about building these bridges between generations. We are about building these bridges between Latinos in the diaspora. We're about building these bridges throughout the world as far as we can reach them. We can reach it. And so that's why we call it Latinx, Nexus Latinx specifically, because we're all about inclusivity.
And so... So the combination of using the word Latinx, which is meant to be inclusive, and I understand that, and Nexus. So how did you put those two together to get that name and to spurn the energy with that idea?
Sure. Well, so Nexus is like the center focal point, right? It's like the centerpiece. It's the bridge to connecting, but it's also a center. So the way that when it came up with the idea and my board, we constructed it and we thought about it, the way that we see it is that we want to be that bridge. We want to be the center as well. We want to be able to be the center focal point of the Latino community, because of the fact that, like you said earlier, we're fragmented. The diaspora is fragmented. We're spread out. It's very difficult for Puerto Ricans specifically, that I can speak to a lot, because of the fact that you have Puerto Ricans living in Hawaii. You have a large population of Puerto Ricans living in Hawaii. Their experiences of growing up living in Hawaii is very different than my experiences growing up in the Bronx. It's going to be very different from my kids' experiences, because I currently live in Dominican Republic, and my kids are going to grow up here in this country. So those are three, or in Texas even, those are three very specific different experiences. And I give a great example quickly about my own family. My mother was born and raised in the Lower East Side. My father was born in Puerto Rico, and he moved to New York and was raised in Chelsea, in the projects in Chelsea, right? And so they had very different experiences than I had growing up in the Bronx with my sister. And even at this moment in time, my mother and father live in New York, my sister lives in New Orleans, and I live in Dominican Republic. So the Nexus Latinx is the center focal point for even those generations and those different experiences. It's kind of like Abuela's house. Like, everybody goes there to that center experience to experience Latinidad, whatever it's called, you know, Latinx, right, together. Right. That's the way I envisioned it.
All right, so you're Abuela. I got you. Abuelo, since it's a man.
Anybody loves Abuela, man.
Right? Even though I'm surprised no one has said Abuelex, because, you know.
Abuelex.
Parents, right? Well, And you know, you brought up something that's really interesting, and I wanted to make sure we understand it totally. So your goal is to be the center so you can bridge the possible fragmentations that exist. And so if people research your organization, you have a couple of pillars. There's if I'm not mistaken, three or four. It says learn, immerse, lead, and serve. And so because I know the language thing is an interesting dynamic that people talk about with Latinos. So the first thing is, and I've seen this and I know this, I know Latinos that live in the United States that don't speak any Spanish. And some of the reasons that I've heard are because the parents don't want to put their children in uncomfortable situations because of school. And then when they speak English, they speak with an accent. I know it specifically because I'm an American in a Latino country, and I speak, as they say, I speak gringo when I speak Spanish, so they know that I'm like not a native speaker, which is cool, you know.
Todo bien.
I understand. It's fine. I have no problems with that. So with those pillars and sort of the loss of language in some sense, so you start to lose a little bit, and that's the fragmentation of the diaspora. How do those four pillars, learn, immerse, lead, and serve, hold up that bridge that you're going to use to span to connect the other people?
Well, what we'd like to do is that we are the center bridge, right? But we're always trying to be forward thinking. So what would be, how can I say it? What would be the result of the program, right? Let's think, okay, when we were constructing this program, we said, okay, 10 years from today, what is it that we want to accomplish? What do we want to actually do and get done on paper, right? On paper, it's finished. We have all of these alumni from Nexus Latinx Next that have finished, that have gone through the program. So with Learn, Immerse, Lead, Serve, we want to give them a broad experience of cultural immersion in their country, right? Where their families are originally from, right? And the idea is that, for example, Puerto Rico is going to be our first initiative, right? We're going to take college diaspora students. We're going to bring them to Puerto Rico, where they're going to go through Learn, Immerse, Lead, Serve in Puerto Rico. They're going to learn about their culture, their history. They're going to immerse into the Puerto Rican community, into Puerto Rican culture. They're going to serve in that they're going to do at least a day or two of community service on the island. And then what they're going to do is that they're also going to lead, where they're going to do community development as well. So not just community service of going to a park and cleaning up the park, but also speaking to community leaders and saying, well, how can we build more parks? How would this neighborhood grow? And so in doing all of that, the hope and the goal is that we would be able to give a strong foundation of confidence, a strong foundation of understanding of their culture. So that way they can go out into the world in the United States and not say like, ni de aquí ni de allá, is a famous saying, not from here and not from there. This feeling of being in between worlds, where they're unconfident in that they don't fit in well in the United States because they're considered minorities, you know, we are. And then at the same time, when they come back to the Caribbean, they feel as if they're tourists. So the goal is really to empower them, to give them the tools, to give them the experiences to be able to go out on their own and really grow. And we have a lot of future projects in mind. That will continue that journey that we're working through now as we speak.
That's awesome. And, you know, the thing that I think is really interesting is when I looked at, when we talked about the Puerto Rico initiative, that's going to be like, what, around 10 days. And it's just, and then you have the goals where that's going to set the foundation of, that's sort of the first stop to go on to other Latino countries, based on sort of like the need to reconnect with the roots. And that for me specifically is something that stands out because I've said it, and I don't say it in a derogatory way, but because many Black Americans are ancestors of slaves, they often are rootless people, right? They don't have anywhere where they can say, I can go back to there or there. They say Africa. Mm-hmm. Africa has 50 plus countries. And so it's not go back to Africa. And Africa is inhabited. Right. And to behave in that way is to behave like the quote unquote colonizers who just took land and say, oh, well, I'm from here, so I'm just going to take something here. And so I look at that and I say, well, with that, the bridges that you're looking to build. So for instance, you said you wanted to do a park, right? And so how can people understand the value of the park? Is it a way, or whatever other bridges that you're looking to build, is it a way that they're going to connect to community leaders and understand that there is a politics that exists in the Latinx diaspora and how to reconnect? Because the thing that I've seen, and I've had a friend say this to me, they're Colombian, and so my friend is a female, a woman, and she speaks Spanish, but her brother speaks a little bit of Spanish, and he's never really come back to Colombia. He came back to Colombia and he said he felt disconnected because he couldn't talk to grandma. Like, obviously he gave grandma a hug, hola abuela, como estás, etc. And then, you know, then it was like, it was a big gap because we can say words, but how do we reconnect? So how do we as people, because while I'm not Latino, I support this, and I think it would help other people as well to understand that bridge you're trying to build. Do you know sort of the, and it's not specifics, but the dimensions of how you want to reconnect? Would it be an option where they're going to meet community leaders and the community leaders will tell them what's going on and maybe how to maybe have a piece of Puerto Rico or the Dominican or something back home from wherever they're from?
Sure. It's we're having the focus of what we're going to go through with the students, right, is going to be that it's all of these items that they're going to learn and discuss while in Puerto Rico with each other are going to be issues that will affect their life, Generation Z, right? I'm a millennial. I'm 37 years old. And the students that are going to go through this program are, we're looking between, you know, 18 and 24 year olds. And that's, you know, literally Generation Z. So we want to be able to really get them together to travel and go through these experiences with each other and build a network amongst each other and learn from each other, right? And the program is going to be specifically traveling throughout the island. So we're not going to just take you to one specific location. We're going to go to the beach and, you know, we're going to meet a couple of leaders. We're actually going to travel around the island. You're going to see, you know, where you're from. You're going to learn and understand and meet with leaders from the local areas. You're going to be able to really have talks. We have what are called wind down sessions that we're planning. That the best way, I speak a lot in examples, right? And the best example I can give is that if you have a Puerto Rican or a Dominican or Mexican student, right, a younger person that lives in the United States that has never visited their country before for whatever reasons, maybe their parents couldn't travel with them, right, which is an issue. Perhaps just monetarily they couldn't afford to take them back. Perhaps they fled the country for other reasons because of violence. We just don't know. And these are the stories that we have, right? Imagine that child growing up and never being able to see the homeland that their parents love so much, that their grandparents love so much, and just literally not being able to get on a plane and go there. We want to be able to take those students and bring them down to where they're from and literally feel the sun on their face, literally hear the mosquitoes flying around their ear, literally like get their feet in this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a lot of students, a lot of young people that are growing up that have never been to where they're from, and they only learn from it from afar. And we want to break that down for you to really understand who you are and where you're from, firsthand experiences. And unfortunately, a lot of the younger people may have not had that opportunity. And you know, that is really the end game for us, is getting them to understand that and then also being able to help them have the tools to build their careers and their lives in the United States.
And you know, you made a mention of something, and I think this is important. You said it several times. You said your focus is Gen Z and it's 18 to 24 year olds. So what about that? What about that group made you focus on them? And I asked this question sort of in a two-part thing. So why them? And you talked about the board that you have. And so what's the background of the people in the board, and how did you all as a unit come together and say, you know what, we want Gen Z because Gen Z is X. And so what's sort of the rationale behind that?
So Generation Z is if you tie in millennials and Generation Z, today, right now, which is the largest population in the entire, in the United States, right? We focus in on Gen Z because that's the future, right? Basically, millennials and Generation Z are also the highest representation, the most representation of Latinos in the United States in the history, because our population is surging. Just this year alone, for an example, not Generation Z specifically, but millennials, businesses, the Latinos were the fastest growing businesses, business owners in the United States until COVID happened, right? But then COVID is such a great example. God bless everybody that has passed and that is sick. I don't mean it in that way. I'm just saying that COVID has completely obliterated and really infinitely hurt the Latino community as well as the African-American community, right? So Generation Z is going to be growing up having to live with COVID, is going to be growing up having to live through all of these school shootings that they went through, right? Specifically, Puerto Rico is going to have to be living out of the remnants of Hurricane Maria. Now we have a completely polarized country. So there's a lot of issues facing Generation Z that we have to help them get through. And it's not just that the numbers are there and that they're surging, but they're going to be facing a lot of issues. I mean, I'm 37 years old and I grew up, you know, in New York in the Bronx through the crack wars. And I thought that that was rough. But, you know, they have a lot of difficult, very difficult issues that I don't feel, that we don't feel as a group, that they have enough tools and enough people really standing there for them. And we want to be part of those, that group that is helping them to push forward. As far as the board goes, we are definitely a family, I call it, right? We have three of us are of Puerto Rican descent. One of us is actually of Puerto Rican and Peruvian descent. And another one of the board members is my best friend from junior high school, and he's actually of Jamaican descent. And we're all diaspora. So we all understand it. We've all lived through it, right? And this came about from a previous conference series that we used to work as a part of. And it's a very prominent conference that occurs in the Latino community in Puerto Rico and in New York. It's been going on over 30 years, and we were part of the planning committee to create it. And so we've planned trips in Puerto Rico. We've planned conferences in Puerto Rico. I specifically myself planned in 2018, I planned a large nonprofit expo that we had over 56 different nonprofits and businesses in Puerto Rico specifically, meet with each other, to build with each other. A lot of great came out of that. And so we had such great experiences connecting diaspora that we said, you know what, we have to go out and continue this journey, because this is the life that this is our way of giving back, because we all have come from great families. We're all accomplished, and we want to be able to really pass that on to the next generation, to be able to help them get into the spots and the leadership roles, right, that they need to get in, to be able to really build for a better future for diaspora people.
It's awesome, because you talked about a conference, and the thing about it is when you have a meeting of ideas, there's so many things that can come from that, that it scares some people, either established or the power structure, because the thing is that people feel like they're going to lose something, but people should understand when you collaborate, you get more, you don't get less. And I think people miss that oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And so I know you made a mention of a conference, and we talked about that before. And so is your organization going to do something similar to that? Because I know on your website, you have a diaspora blog. Yeah. And so it's obviously a way to sort of give out or share information. So will you have something similar to a conference for the people and the alumnus or the past participants? And sure. How is the diaspora blog going to sort of be almost probably a living document to make sure people stay connected?
So I'm glad you asked these questions. So with the conference series, we're still very early in this. COVID has actually thrown a monkey wrench at us. You know, it's thrown a kind of a hook at us. And unfortunately, we have had to pivot in a couple of different directions. And so we're not going to be able to have any trips, obviously, this year. Hopefully we can get some in at the end of next year when everybody's safe and we have a vaccine and where everybody's in the right mindset to do it. And whenever that happens, we can start doing our first trips, because there's a lot of obviously barriers that are facing not just us, but everybody, right? So eventually we would like to be able to get to the point that we can create this community, this Nexus community, where the website is going to be the center, the focal point, right? We can get some networking going. We can get a blog series where we're constantly turning out articles, where we're talking about diaspora issues. But the conference is really a personal goal of mine that we're trying to work out and how we could do it with the board. What's the best way to do it in the future? Because I think that conferences are important whenever we can get back to them in person. Because you're not only for the networking piece, but like you said, you're whether you know it or not, you're collaborating, you're sharing ideas, you're learning from other people. And I think that there's nothing greater in my mind than having a Generation Z diaspora conference, right? Like, that's my goal. Like, that's what I wake up to and think about, like, wow, this would be a great thing to produce. So eventually that's the goal in the future. And also through the we also have another project that's coming up that I can't talk too much about because it's not out there yet. But I can give you a couple of hints in that we also want to be able to teach younger people their history, right? Because we feel that there are so many pitfalls as you're growing up in the United States of in regards to your history and in regards to leaving out a lot of things that are not spoken on, that you really need to go out and reach out and learn from on your own. And so what we'd like to do is to be able to create almost like history trailers, let's say, right? Specific important topics, specific important leaders that can really open up the appetite of younger people, and not just younger people, but the parents as well, that may have never learned about these issues as well, to be able to really go on their own discovery. So we also have that project coming up. I don't want to give too much away because we're still in the middle of it, but it should be coming.
Understood, man. I understood. And you know, the funny thing about it is while the things you're talking about are sort of, they're professional and social events sort of mixed, I'd be remiss not to talk about politics in just a little bit, because all the things you're talking about are making the participants politically active and understanding that politics, while people look at the sort of current state of the world, but specifically in the United States, politics is the art of negotiation. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to build. Even if you have opposing sides, you're supposed to push each other up. Your goal is to take opposing sides and push the people up to the center so everyone is elevated.
Exactly.
And so I think one of the things that's important is to understand just the diversity of being Latino. So for instance, one thing that I knew that I know that I think some people are unaware of is just sort of the fact that Latinos consist of many, many different types of people. So there are Black Latinos, there are White Latinos, there are Morenos, and they're the mestizo. Maybe in Mexico they use the phrase mestizo. I haven't heard it a bunch. In Colombia, I hear Moreno more than anything else, mm-hmm. because that's just obviously the brown people, which is generally like what we would assume is the masses. Mm-hmm. And you understand that for Latinos, it's sort of a different thing where they have to push, because abuela could be blanca and, you know, abuelo could be negro and they have Moreno kids and then all the kids look different. So Latinos really, they can, but they really can't sort of allow race to infiltrate what they're doing because of just the diaspora of who they are. And then it's very different than the African diaspora because, I mean, while Black people do come in different colors, you generally see a brown skinned guy, right? But in Latinos, if I say someone's Latino, like Ted Cruz is Latino.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave my silence on that. But Ted Cruz is Latino.
I'm gonna leave my silence on that too.
But also AOC, like, and while I don't necessarily agree with everything she says or does, AOC is sort of one of those representations of an empowered Latina. And she may use Latinx. I don't know what phraseology, but she chose to kind of come from the bottom and now she is where she is. And people say, well, she's radical. And the thing about it is that there's probably a ton of Latinos in her generation where they have similar ideas. And it's not because they're radical. It's because no one has come to bridge with them so they can alter and say, okay, well, we don't want you to lose anything. So let's find a way for both of us to eat. And they just look at her as saying, oh, well, she's taken away from everyone. And it just hurts that exists in that way. And so I said all that to say, I brought up AOC going back to New York, that conference series that you were talking about. Now, I'll let you give the details of it because it's not your specific conference as far as my understanding. Right. But it's a conference series that it happens in New York at one part of the year, and then it happens in Puerto Rico in another part. And so how has that conference, maybe some of the ideas it's giving you, influenced you and maybe even connected you to other people to help push this idea more forward?
Sure. Well, the conference has been rooted in Puerto Rican history, right? So it's been rooted, it's over 30 years. The goal of it is really to enhance the leadership of Puerto Ricans, right? In New York and on the island as well. That's grown out because the population of Latinos in New York have grown out. Now you have a large amount of Dominicans, you have Colombians, you have a very, very interesting mix that are coming up, Mexicano. So the thing is that the conferences, they really enhanced, as my experiences with them, enhanced the idea of being able to bring people together in a way to do something positive, right? Because what I learned is that if you can, and it ties into what I'm gonna, I know it may sound like that's not gonna tie in, but it does. If you go on a vacation, right? And for example, is that if you go on a vacation and you go to a specific location and you go from the hotel to the beach, 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 you didn't really see the actual country that you're in, right?
Nope.
Now, there's nothing wrong with there's nothing wrong with doing that maybe for 1 or 2 days. But personally, I can't do it. I need to be able to explore where I'm actually visiting. So with me personally, what my experiences from that conference showed me is that, yes, I'm Puerto Rican, but at the same time, I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up in New York. And I, for some time, I didn't speak Spanish for a very long time. I didn't speak it. And I still have trouble. You know, my wife still laughs at me today for some of my Spanish that I speak, because I speak Spanglish, right? And so then the conference, what it did, it forced me to get into Puerto Rico on the island in Puerto Rico, to see all these amazing places and visit schools and visit churches and visit large community centers up in the mountains of Puerto Rico that most New Yorkers have never been to, right? So from all of those experiences, what I learned is that I'm not afraid to be able to go not just to Puerto Rico, but to go to any country and just simply rent a car, turn on my GPS. And me and my wife literally do it all the time. Okay, where do we want to go? Let's do some research on it. Let's put the GPS on and drive there and really get culturally immersed into the community, into the country you're visiting. And those conferences really taught me that I don't need to go to Puerto Rico and feel like I don't belong, because I do belong. But at the same time, I'm Latino and I can go to any Latino country in the world, any Latino country, and I should be able to want to learn about where somebody else is from. And that's not just Latino, that's also, you know, anywhere else. I'm very interested, I'm a very curious person. And those conferences specifically grew that curiosity in me more so than I even was before.
And that's really true. And like, for instance, while I'm by my window and there's a lot of movement, and it's specifically because it's international. Well, it's actually World Cup qualifying matches.
Oh.
And dude, I didn't know, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Football, man, that's the most unifying thing you could find ever, especially national teams football, you know, even though it's dangerous. It can be dangerous for some of the players. But But there's such a passion and a unification that it shows how the Latinos can be together. And so I do, because just talking about fun and deportes, it's what are some highlights? And so just a few more questions, but what are some highlights of the fun things that you either are planning? And I know you can't give all the details, but maybe some things you've planned, executed, and have accomplished so far with Nexus Latinx, with you, your board, and maybe some participants.
Sure. So we have, what we've been doing is that we're doing a lot of our research to specifically understand what is it that Generation Z is interested in, right? Because I give a great example. As we're going through this program, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and me and him are the same age, to somebody that's on the board with me, a board member, and me and him are the same age, and we were speaking, and we were saying, you know, it would really be awesome if we take these kids to, like, a coffee plantation. We're going to get them to go learn about coffee, because coffee is a very important piece in Puerto Rican history and Puerto Rican culture, not just Puerto Rico, but Latino America in general, right?
Yes, sir.
And we're just like, wow, this is going to be amazing. And then we realized, and then my fellow board member said to me, he said, well, do these kids even drink coffee? Like, are they going to want to drink coffee? I don't know. Like, we got to, and then it got me thinking completely different. And we really are still in the early stages. So we're still structuring the trip out exactly what it would be. But a good example that I can give that we have planned 100% in mind is that we want to be able to take these students to Loíza. Loíza is a specific part in Puerto Rico that is very, very deeply rooted in their African history, in their African culture. There is a music that's come out of Puerto Rico. There are two of them, Bomba y Plena, but specifically Bomba. Loíza is like a hotbed of it, right? Like, we want to take them there, and we want to actually teach them what bomba means and what is the symbolism behind it. It was literally like slave music, you know, African slave music. And we want to be able to get them understanding that they come from that as well, and that we are a people that have been oppressed, and we are people that are still struggling and have been struggling, right? And like that, how do we unify with each other to be able to really understand our roles moving forward? And so I specifically am super excited about that, just to be able to teach them what bomba is and the love behind it that Puerto Ricans love so much, right? And then we have a bunch of few other trips that I can't give too much details on, but that is definitely one. We have another one that we're working out, where most recently there has been a study done regarding Taíno Indians. I've been taught specifically, and most Puerto Ricans and most Latinos have been taught their entire life, that the Taíno community was completely decimated, right, in Puerto Rico. But there is a specific group of Puerto Rican scientists that have come out with a study that shows that there is still a linkage today in Puerto Ricans to Taínos through their DNA. So there's actually specific groups in Puerto Rico that are living as Taínos, that they're
that's
proud
awesome.
Of their heritage, they're proud of their culture, they're proud of saying they're Taíno, they do the actual ceremonies, they do the arete, like, they do all of these great, amazing Taíno ceremonies. That's another thing that we want to be able to, my vision is to, like, that's opening day, right? Like, opening day, I'm a big baseball fan. So, like, that's opening day for the Mets, because let's go Mets. So that's the opening day for the Mets. And, like, you know, imagine, like, the first day, the first thing you see in Puerto Rico, you come down off the plane, you get off the plane, blah, blah, blah. Sure, you're tired, you have something to eat. But you go and you drive into this ceremony, an areto, this ceremony of Taíno Indians waiting for you to get to your, like, just that imagery gets me super excited, too. So we have a few items planned. I'll leave it at that.
I feel it. No, I feel it, man. And so one thing, I'd be remiss to do it, because I mean, perception is reality. So I think when we talk about challenges, mm-hmm. challenges are the steps to raise us to the plateau we want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking, what are some of the challenges that you have either experienced or you perceive that may happen that you're going to overcome going forward with your project?
Sure. Well, I'm going to just say, first and foremost, is COVID-19. Again, God bless everybody that
yes, sir.
You know, like 100%, but COVID is really just, you know, something that's hitting everybody front end. And so I'll give you a great example. We had a lot of things planned. We had fundraisers planned. We had trips planned. We had all types of stuff planned this year. Even our 501c3 status, as an example, we're waiting on that. And so everything that we have had planned has been delayed, right? So everything that we had planned coming up to even today has been delayed as a result of COVID. But what I've learned specifically as you know, a board member is that what we have, somebody told me something, one of our advisors told me something that really hit me hard. He said, you know, Pablo, if you cannot travel on Nexus Latinx, if you never can travel again, if we never get out of COVID, if the airplane industry fails and we can never travel, can you still fulfill your mission of Nexus Latinx? The mission of Nexus Latinx is that we believe in self-discovery, right? We believe that with self-discovery, we believe in a right to self-discovery, because without self, in order to conquer adversity, right? Self-discovery can help you to conquer adversity. So we believe in a right to self-discovery so you can conquer adversity. And so even if COVID has hit us extremely hard and we can never...
Thank you. That's awesome how we were able to just get all of this information. And, you know, then the podcast could be longer, but I think there's something that people should definitely understand, that this podcast is called Voices of My Brothers, Sisters, and People Intentionally, because everyone I connect to, I consider as my people, my brother, my sister. Just it depends on how they choose to classify. And so I like to have the final word to be that of the contributor and or AKA the guest, because I want them to say what's on their heart. Now, the final word can be about what we just talked about in the episode, or the final word can be about something that's on your heart. But either way, I will say directly, thank you for your contribution and your voice to this podcast. I wish you todo éxito en su oportunidades, right? In all your opportunities, I wish you success.
Gracias.
And I will leave the final word to you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm really a full-time firm believer in what you're doing. And I think it's always important to be able to live a life the way you're living it, in terms of help build other people build and really being selfless. And it's a great quality you have. So I really applaud you on it. And I'm going to leave you with a quote that that guides my life, that anytime I have any troubles, I always just I'll go back to, and it's by the Hall of Fame Puerto Rican baseball player Roberto Clemente, which really pretty much ties up this whole interview and my whole life into one, like something I could be super proud of. And he said, anytime you have an opportunity to make a difference in this world and you don't, then you're wasting your time on earth. You are wasting your time on earth. So with that, I'm going to just say that that is the point of life, to be able to lay down the framework for the generation behind you to have a better life. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you for having me.